Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'll leave you with this with Dustin Chaffin.
Please subscribe to our Patreon page. You can hear all kinds of extras with TJ Miller on the road and Hell Gig stories and behind the scenes of a comedy club in Manhattan. So please support that. I could really use your support. So if you like this podcast, please sign up for Patreon page. It's only like $2 and you can really kind of get some extra stuff that I want to try to add. It's even getting better and better each week. So please support us and I'll give back. I promise. I thought that was really funny when I CC'd everybody on that email I sent.
Hilarious.
It's like so funny. Like that's the new, like, just, you know, your dick's hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like this ridiculous, you know, when all the comics, like, because Jim is so old.
Yeah.
And I'm old. And I remember when there was an internet.
Yeah.
And, you know. You just, the reply all thing is going to be really funny. He's just going in, telling how much he's paying me. So I was like, stop.
I didn't read that part. I just saw that he responded. And usually, if I get a reply all, I'm like, what an idiot. But then, like, Lori responded right away. And I was like, oh, this is fun.
And freaking TJ gets in. I'm like, come on, man.
it's so enjoyable. And then I just picture you at first being like, okay, this is, all right, that's enough. I got shit to take care of now.
It was so funny. I remember one time, he's still mad at me from it. I mean, there was the owner of a comedy club in Manhattan, and it was just like, I was all mad and drunk and crazy. And it was right when kind of AOL was coming out, and if nobody was really savvy with email, you know, what I mean? Like, we knew that you knew how to use it, but you weren't. I didn't understand the whole reply all thing, and I think I replied all to like all the employees at the club. You know, this guy had a little dick or whatever, and it went all crazy.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, of course, you know, they went right to him and all this thing, and then just, I was still. I've been banned there for like 20 years.
I did the same when I first met you.
Yeah.
Was when you used to have that uncensored show that you
had. New York Comedy Club.
In New York. And so I was just coming down for little trips, and I really wanted to do a one-man show at UCB, and I was talking to them, and they're like, we could maybe give you a 4 p.m. spot on, like, but it was still to me like, oh, I get to do it in New York.
Sure.
And then they kept running me around. I go, what the fuck is your fucking problem? And I wrote this draft that I was trying to send to Mark Breslin, who was my manager at the time. And I sent it to UCB. And I was like, what do I need to come down there and play a game of arms with a whole bunch of untalented lesbians? You fucking. And I thought Breslin was going to read it and laugh. And then the guy responded back like, ha ha. And then I was like, oh God. And then he passed it to his superior and he wrote me back, oh, I'm sorry. Did I not give a mediocrely talented YouTube comedian? Because like all I submitted was a YouTube video. Oh, if I give every comedian with a blurry YouTube video a one man show, would that make me a better person? And I was like, oh my God. And I was drinking too.
Oh, yeah.
Would you drink it? And then you sent, and I sent it and I go, oh my God. As soon as I click send, I was like, motherfucker.
That's so
broke
crazy.
My heart.
There's so many. Yeah, there's emails like I've had to, like, you know, with my girl now, Leah. It's like, you know, she has to, like, we have a rule. Like, I have to, whenever there's some dicey email, some emotion that might be involved, I gotta like run it past her because I've had so many emails that get me in trouble. You know, just with bookers and stuff. I mean, because with bookers, I don't have patience.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, dude, I could do this with my eyes closed. It's not that hard. You're making this bigger than it is.
Right.
You know some talented people. That's all you do. Like, you don't grab the mic. You don't whatever. So I get all like really indignant when the booker treats me bad. Because I'm like, dude, I do your job better than you. And I'm not even really doing it. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's like, and then I did that with the guy at Governor's. And it was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and I said that. I was like, psh. I go, man, see, you guys act like this is a real job. I go, I've been booking like half drunk. And what, you know, just like, I go, my talented friends just get on my shows. That's how I book.
Yeah.
And then it was this whole thing. And he held on to that for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, emails. I think that's.
But you're back there now. soon.
Just got back.
This is your first one
back.
Well,
I think that guy's out.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's always the hope when you do something bad is like, oh, God, I hope this guy gets hit by a truck or gets fired. I swear, that was my thing with Just for Laughs. I was blacklisted, and I was like, this guy needs to leave. And then he finally left. Now he runs Netflix. So it's like, I'm like, oh, all right, I guess I'm not for
Netflix. Or my thing, too, is just like, there's no way this guy's going to be like, they're not going to be doing anything. Guys at Gotham. I was like, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
One little club on 23rd Street.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. And then I go, I'm sorry.
They tell you got to be nice to everybody.
It's I guess.
I wasn't. I mean, I burned bridges, too. It's not fun to do it. I'm mature enough now. I'll try and put stuff behind me. There was a guy, there was a guy comic that I knew really hated me because of an incident like a year and a half ago. And so whenever we'd see each other, we just wouldn't look at each other. We'd just be weird. And then a week and a half ago, I saw him. I go, hey, come here. And he came, and I go, look, this thing that happened was, you know, there was details you probably didn't know about, but I get where you're coming from. And and he was like, hey, I respect you for coming, and I dig what you do. And blah, blah. So, you know, it's water under the bridge. But I also said, I think time heals all these things, you know?
Yeah, I had a guy that, this guy, Todd, and he was a crazy guy, and he was... he had a thing with my ex at the time, and like she was like called him an N-word and stuff, and just got all crazy. And you know, he was kind of an aggressive guy, and you know, that ex was 15 years ago, you know, it was like a whole thing. And he was down at Greenwich, and he was performing on an early show or something. And I was kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, okay, all right, you know, it's like you can perform here, but I was like, you know, we need to work this out.
Yeah,
so I walked up and I was like, look, dude, that thing that happened, you know, that really that was a bad time for everybody, and he wouldn't accept my apology.
Yeah,
and I was like, dude, well, you want to be here, then you need to, like, let me do this right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? I had to convince him that it's like, you know, you can't hold on to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Comedy's just, I think we're all just damaged. So we're all trying to kind of, like, we're holding on to stuff that we shouldn't hold on to.
Yeah. And then even if you're damaged and you feel like you're okay, you're probably not, you know? Because, like, I think for years I was like, okay, this is who I am. So this is how it takes me to get over stuff, and then, you know, I go to therapy now, and you start to see, oh, you don't have to be stuck in who you are. That stuff can change.
How do you deal with, like, this is my biggest thing, and it's funny because I am on the other side of it too. How do you deal with a club not liking you? When you just, like, because there's this clubs that just won't have anything to do with me.
Seller doesn't touch me.
Yeah. And, what happened that
she
day?
She passed me and that never worked me. And I felt like that also screwed up our friendship a little bit, you know, between you and I, because it was like, I worked at your place a lot. And then.
What'd you do? Were you like, kai, 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 or something?
No. She saw me. She's like, okay. Well,
did you go hard one night? And like, because I know they get weird about that stuff. They act like they're hip to like Edge, but they're not always.
I mean,
to Edge,
it's possible. Unless you're a tell. I brought the house down.
Sure, like, of course.
I did two shows after she passed me.
That's not even a question.
Destroyed, and
but they came at me a little bit.
I think my issue was with someone that worked there, because I was on a podcast. I'll just say it, Liz, who works there.
Yeah, sure.
She was on Bobby's podcast one day, and I did a DC Benny show at the small room, Fat Black. And they're like, oh, it's $15, and I never got paid. And so then I see Liz, and I think I hadn't even started working there, but I was all awkward about it. You know, it's the Cellar, and it was a big. So I saw her on the podcast. I go, hey, I gotta grab some money off you.
Oh, you said on
the podcast, yeah. And she's like, okay, maybe this isn't podcast talk. And I was like, oh, all right. So she leaves, and then I go with Bobby after to get
it's kind
the
of
money, and still haven't gotten the $15. So Esty passed me, and then not working, and I'm like, something must be going. And then I'm like, it must have been Liz, probably put a word in. And I knew she wasn't a fan, and then she'd seen me after, like, Destroy, but wouldn't even say hi, you know? I'd be like, hey, what's up? And she'd just kind of,
Yeah.
So that's it. But so now I just resign myself, and I'm like, okay, that's, you know, I was really angry about it for a while. You know, that for a lot of comics, that's a big thing.
Sure.
And I was really, and then I'm like, it took me, I was almost suicidal. Like, that's how upset I was. Because, like,
it messes you up. Yeah.
I check the avails of it, and I'm like, I'm not getting nothing.
Yeah, you're like, you're having a stalker. You're like, what's going on?
And then you finally talk to other people that are like, look, it's not that big of a thing. You work all these other places, and all these other people love you, so if one place doesn't, and it takes so long for that to kick in, and then you just go, okay, that place is what it is. I'm going to make my own way. There's comics that have made their own way without being a part of that.
Yeah.
And they're also going through a thing now where it's like, those crowds are really super woke now, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
the
crowds, I can't imagine.
So that's it. But I don't like walking by there unless, you know, if I see a tell, I'll talk to a tell. But the rest of the time, it's just head down and I stroll by there.
Boom, boom,
place doesn't
out.
Exist to me. That's it.
Yeah, it's, you know, you know my history with that place and all that stuff. You know, it was...
I remember reading back and forth. Your tweet. It was either a tweet or it may have been Hi Piper. Or it may have been like a Facebook message or MySpace. It may have been that long ago. But the night you got past there, baby girl.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And
you know?
You were like, did five spots. I remember it. And you're like, did five spots last night, blah, blah, blah. And then got past to the cellar. And I remember that. And it was like a big deal. And it was before I even lived
It's
here.
Unfortunate that, like, you know, it's that it does cause, so, you know, you're so happy when it happens. But at the same time, it turns into something else. It's kind of like one of those things where, like, you see the really pretty girl and then you really get to know her and you're like, oh, she's crazy.
You have AIDS. What the hell? We just did it unprotected for 7 minutes, and I did great. You told me I was the best you ever had. Chris Rock slept with you? Oh, no. Louis leaving your house? Oh, no.
Change the sheets. Yeah. But, yeah, so it's like that's what it feels like. Well, it's funny because it was a goal for me as it was a goal for you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I get weirded out by it. And here's the thing with the comics. It's like... This is what weirds me out with the comics that leave, you know, Greenwich, and then they go on to the thing. I feel like people should fight for the chance to just like casually play the club and not be such a big deal. I feel like if we rally around, like Russ plays it, and there's guys that play both clubs. I just feel like they just get their grips on, like, you know, you have to play here, no other play, and it's like I feel that's what drives me crazy, because I feel like comedy to me is this individual freelance thing that we just do. We don't have a boss. That's why we do this, because we couldn't handle being in a cubicle,
right,
and having somebody over us telling us what to do. So I think that really bothers me. Nobody stands up for it. And then a nice shout out once in a while would be nice, because I feel like when these guys pass the cellar, they're like, oh, we passed the cellar. They're like, I kind of grinded you out a little bit, you know, to get you there. So maybe a little shout out would be nice. So I get a little worked up, you know, I get worked up and then I just need time to rethink everything. And
your room is like a quintessential down and dirty village room. Like
rooms have been that way. Yeah.
And so you really got to make your bones. There's nothing. You don't get it handed to you in that room.
No, that's a tough because room.
It's also like you also sometimes get those people that are like, oh, we didn't get into the cellar. These guys better be super funny.
They're very suspicious of the show.
Yeah.
So when you crush in Greenwich, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's like a standing ovation anywhere else. But so I've gotten over that, and I think it's just like one of those things. But I still have some people who are just kind of like, you know, just be nice to be recognize, but that's therapy. You know, I've worked on that with therapy where I can't just do things for people and then expect, you know, everybody to give me back what I feel like I deserve, you know, or don't be good to people. Like, you can't be like, you know, help the old lady across the street and then yell at her for not, you know, thinking you enough.
Yeah. That's, I deal with it too, where there's like a lot of my growing up was like guilt related, you know, where it's like, hey, we did this for you, so you should feel this. And he's like, you know, people should just give because they want to give.
It's true.
And it's a really hard thing to take on.
But it's weird when you're like, you know, the Phil Spector of comedy, you know?
Yeah.
When you look at my roster, you're like, I don't know, man. It's all to something. It's
like, you got an eye. I'll see. Like I said, like I'll come down, and even when I got like those check spot guys, I'll be like, oh, this guy's got something.
Yeah, you know. Well, most of the check spot guys are my students, and then everybody else is, you know, kind of in the farm league, if you will. Because that's what I think. I think that's what makes me angry is the sellers should be sending me a bouquet of flowers every year. Yeah. You know what I mean? And be like, thanks for the new recruits. Yeah. Because it's like, you know, that's what it is. Like the farm league. It's like they go on. It's like the Cyclones or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the sellers are Yankees, but we're getting them ready for the league. league. And it's like, you know, that has to be acknowledged instead of like, what do you think these guys get funny?
Yeah.
You know, they don't get funny in an open mic, and they're not picking any new talent.
Right.
They're just taking talent that's already kind of being formed. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing. They're not, they've done it a few times. I've seen them try to do it, and it just, it's awful.
Yeah.
They'll take a brand new guy that, like, and work, you know what I'm talking about. They'll take a brand new guy. Yeah. And he'll, you could tell he doesn't work even when, if I pass, if I don't work you, then you probably need some work.
Yeah.
Because if you're good, I'll work you. Even if you're a dick, if you're really funny, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of this interesting thing that happens over there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They should at least invite you to the Christmas party or something.
He invited me once. We had a big, we had a bad podcast experience.
Yeah.
And it was just because it was like, it was kind of a setup. You know, it was kind of one of those things where it was just like, you know, I just, he wouldn't allow me in the building because he thought I was going to poach his, and I was like, those guys were my friends first, just so you know, like, you know what I mean? And like, whatever, like, I'm going to go over, hey man, you want to play the Grinch? Like in a trench
Come on,
coat.
Real quick.
Like, trench coat and sunglasses.
You're standing on a midget's shoulders so he doesn't recognize you.
Hey man, you know, it's like, no, it's like, come on, dude. It's like, but I can't even go there and have freaking wings without it being a big deal.
I do miss those wings.
Yeah,
those wings were the best part of it.
Best wings.
I hated that table. I went and sat at that table a couple times, and then I just get these evil looks from the most awkward autistic guys that work there, and I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I really, sometimes I'd be like, I want to just go in there and punch two people in the mouth and walk out. Like, I understand. If I was the Joker, that'd be the place I'd go.
Yeah.
You get what you deserve.
Well, that's what I was saying the other day. I said, you know, every comedian's a check spot away from being the Joker.
Yeah.
You know I mean? Like, we're all
a great movie, by the way.
I didn't see it yet. Yeah. I want to see it.
I'm not going
to give any spoilers. I definitely can't wait to see
it. Hang on,
let me deal with
the baby. Talking about the table. Oh, the Joker.
No spoilers. The table.
What a great movie.
Well, the table thing is interesting because it's like, I feel like the table at the Cellar is, it almost like hurts comedy more than it's trying to, like, I see what it's doing, but I almost want to be like, yeah, those guys aren't really here anymore. Like, the table that it was built for.
Right.
Patrice is dead.
Yeah.
Geraldo's dead.
Yeah.
Burr doesn't come in there. You know what I mean? It's like, is it just the Attell table? You know what I mean? I feel like there's really...
I don't even think he hangs out there.
He doesn't.
I've never seen him outside. He smokes.
He's always eating candy or smoking or something. Yeah. He's never like... He's always in those stairwells.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. It's kind of I see the idea. It's to, like, you know, you're trying to, like, you know, recognize the talent and the people that are come before you and all that stuff. But I don't know, man. I don't think it quite. It you know, I got an email one time from a comic, a pretty big comic, a lot of television and stuff, and he didn't want to play Greenwich because, like, he was on there a lot. He was playing the club a lot, and he didn't want to be a part of the club anymore because he said there were too many young comics in the club. And I thought that was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. And so it was like this thing where it's just like, what do you want, dude? Like, you know, like, I want to be around people that are just getting into this.
Yeah.
Because it's like that energy is what makes me stay in it.
Yeah.
Because if I'm just around a bunch of old dudes, Ross Bennett, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, after a while, you're like, okay, I just can't be around you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same old, like, ah, well, you know, just still hanging in there, you know.
Yeah.
I want to be around some excitement.
Yeah. I mean, there's a beautiful thing where everybody has a place in this, you know, and it's like, you want to see the older, more experienced guys because you want to see what they're throwing and what type of stuff they're doing, but you also... got to see these people that remind you, like, they're like, oh, so full of hope, they're, oh, maybe I'm gonna get to do this, or maybe I'm gonna get on this, and you're like, oh, okay, that's a cool thing to have too.
Yeah. And when this is, you know, what's driving us to what I'm going to bring up next, but, you know, I think it's like in New York City you literally have to have this enthusiasm for spots, like, that you, like, each spot has to have, and every time I never take a spot for granted, like, is If I get a, especially if it's paid or whatever, it's like, you know, just any spot in Manhattan, New York City, any day of the week is a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was always the goal.
Yeah.
Is to be a New York City comic because we're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's true. So it's like the, you know, the French painters or whatever. Like, there's the you know, the Spanish surrealists, whatever. Like, there's, you know, New York City comedians is like this whole other art form. Like, it's this whole other league of comedians.
Yeah.
And, So I pride myself in that. So to get as many of those spots as I can is like a big deal for me. So yeah. I love popping around the city. I love getting as many as those skins. Now, I've never gotten 25 in one night.
Yeah. It's mental.
I can't believe you pulled this off.
You were part of it. I scheduled some with you.
Yeah.
You were on a bunch of the shows,
too. I can't believe you did this. So, ladies and gentlemen, in his kitchen, not my studio, we have from television and film and all kinds of fun stuff, Comedy Central, Detroit Rock City, which is a cult classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boondock Saints 2. Warehouse 13.
Boondock Saints 2 is a great one because it's like you just this little weird scene and like a wrecking, like a junkyard or something. Yeah. Like it's a funny little scene. They see you in that.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And the Comedy Central thing is great because I really, because you're one of those comedians where, you know, you are Rickles on crack, but you're also a very good storyteller. Yeah. So it's nice that, you know, people got to see that side of you.
Yeah.
Because you have a great riff with the audience, what I love, but I also know that there's such good stories there within you. So that was cool to see you, like, tell a story. I've seen you, you know, tell a couple of things and about, you know, friends and threesomes and all that stuff. So it's always funny to, and you are one of those guys too, where I think you're doing a lot of amazing stuff, but you got so much left in the tank to get out there.
Yeah.
You know, like Vic Henley said the best thing to me one time. He was just like, you know what? You're funny, Dustin, but, you know, you're funnier than your material. You have so much more. And I do. I have so much stuff I'm not talking about that I can't wait to get out there.
Right.
I think that's what moves kind of a veteran comic is knowing that there's still so much great stories and material and all that stuff.
And that's a tough place to be. Because when you need to evolve, but you're also in this place where you're like, okay, well, I do well for a living.
Yeah.
So it's that thing where you're like, you got to, and if you're living off spot pay and stuff like that, you got to be delivering on all those spots. And you don't feel like you have that time to be like, I'm just going to mess around and breathe and do this. And we have to find a way to do that, to really evolve, to be, you know, if you want to be churning out specials like Burr and Chappelle are doing, I feel like you got to do that. And I'm guilty of not doing that. I mean, I evolve at such a slow pace. It's line by line for me. And I don't work long form anymore. Like it's, and I would love to get back to that where I was doing, my first years were like, okay, let's be a storytelling comic.
Yeah.
And I was just fortunate with that Comedy Central thing. Cause I remember the first time I did that story and better comics watching and they're like, what are you doing? That's not stand up.
It
was like, you know, to get that on TV or whatever was just such a, oh, okay, I was right. You know, trust your instinct and it's going to be right. But it's to evolve like that, you got to, you watch Burr now, he takes L's all the time in clubs. Like he'll go on stage. I've seen him at West Side. People get, Burr's here.
Sure.
But he just works on new shit. Gaffigan, same thing. Yeah. Gaffigan doesn't annihilate in clubs.
No.
But then you watch.
I've seen Chris Rock tank.
Yeah. But then you watch that special and you're like, oh, that's where the work came in. It's like they go and just take it on the chip. But they're also at a place where, you know, I don't want to make it about money, but when you got a few mil in the bank, your spot in front of 30 people isn't like, oh, I need this $75 real bad.
Yeah. You get that fan base to kind of cushion, you know, everything that you do. And also the pressure of new material. But I feel like I'm getting better at that. Like I used to just, you know, open a certain way. And if it didn't get a certain kind of response, then I would switch to something that was A material.
But
I'm trying to do that more. I'm trying to, like, take it on the chin a little bit and not feel like, you know, this needs to be worked out. Like, I need to work out new stuff. I'm evolving as a person, you know.
You're one of those guys, and I hesitantly say this, but it's like where it would be, if you worked long form, like almost even in a solo show, the stuff that you would have, first of all, nobody else has those stories. That's the beauty of those long form.
Yeah.
I knew nobody else was talking about jacking off in front of a dude for money. and it may take longer for that to catch on than like, here's my 5-minute late night spot.
Yeah.
But it's like when you uncover all that stuff, it's just going to, you rise like a phoenix, you know?
Yeah.
And you really stand out. And then you get to call your own shots. And that's what...
True.
In the past few years, the industry doesn't matter anymore. Like, people say it a lot. It's really a true thing. Like, I learned from putting a movie out now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they really don't matter. Whatever you want to do, you can do it on your own. And especially when you've been doing it long enough that you have a network of people that you know. And you're like, okay, I need a camera crew. I need an editor. I need someone that can do distribute. You know all those people.
Yeah.
So the only thing stopping you from doing that is yourself, thinking the industry is going to give you something. And it's like, even once you have a hit or you have something good, maybe you'll get 20, 30 grand easier. But it's like, it's... Everything is on us to do it. Anything we don't have, it's because of us. The industry doesn't hand out anything. You watch those Comedy Central like digitals that they do now, and you're like, those are bar shows. They're literally bar shows with newer comics.
Half of them are check spot guys.
Yeah. They're getting $1,500. And it's like, oh, okay, that's a break. That's a big break. Yeah. Years ago, it was like, I need that Comedy Central credit.
Yeah.
And then
Letterman, Comedy Central, anything like that.
Yeah.
So, so here we are. Aaron Berg, everybody. Yay.
Yay. Thank you, live audience.
So you did this documentary, and you know, it's great because I remember you toying with the idea, like just in conversation a little bit about this kind of, you know, Steve Byrne had done a documentary. Did he do a documentary or he just did the record?
He put it on YouTube. 13 or Bust, it's called.
Okay. Yeah. It was like a 25-minute thing or something, right?
Yeah.
It was
a different time. Him, Bill Burr, Bobby Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was like, who could do the most?
They were just shooting the shit. Oh.
Okay, so they were in it, but they weren't all trying to. That's pretty funny. That idea is, that should be your next one. Everybody's just trying to be the ring. That's like funny. 40 guys.
Yeah.
I'm next. I'm the next.
Same night.
I'm next. Yeah. I'm next. So you do this thing. I know you've been doing some press for it and stuff. You did New York One today, right?
Yeah, that's so awesome. Exciting.
That's so cool.
New York One's the best.
I love that guy, Pat. What's his name?
I never knew Pat Kiernan.
Kiernan, he's great.
What a
cool dude, man.
Because when you move here, New York One is everything.
Oh, yeah.
You're broke and you don't even have cable and you can watch New York One.
You just plug it in the wall and get New York One.
Man, one day I want to be on that. And it's so quintessential New York. And
it really
so
is.
They emailed me.
Yeah,
and
they emailed you. That's great.
Yeah, and they're like, "Do you want to come on and talk?" And he's like, "I got an idea. We have this brick backdrop, and you could do some stand up."
Oh no!
And I go, "It's a horrible idea. It's a you've done like morning time stand up.
I did New York One not New York Fox Day.
Yeah." And I was like, "I do not want to." And it's like, even if you get the crew laughing, which means it's funny, you're still like, you don't want. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So I go, look. I go, full disclosure, I'm really dirty as a stand-up. I don't want to ruin your show by coming on them. Just do an interview with me. And they go, okay. And so I got there, and he's like, just please, we're a family show. And I go, yeah, no, I'm not going to curse. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm off the stage. Yeah.
it was so fun. I didn't know, but he's like a famous dude, this back here in a guy. He does a newspaper segment every day, brings out the newspaper.
Dude, that's the best thing for bits. It's fantastic. Yeah. If you're trying to do topical bits, like if you have to do like a packet for something, just watch that dude.
Yeah.
Because he'll take a paper and just get all the meat out of every story.
Yeah.
That's how I write when I have to do topical stuff.
I saw Dick Gregory do that once at Caroline's. You ever see him live?
No.
Once. I
read his book. You heard
Caroline's.
Of it?
Yeah. What was the name of that? I stopped saying
I
that word.
I just make people say the name.
10 months ago, I stopped saying the word. I used to say it. I stopped because I was working with Ian Lara, and I would say it a lot to him as my friend. He was open to it, and he goes, "Hey man, could you just not?" He goes, "I'm not offended. I'd just prefer if you didn't." And then I saw it from his point of view, so now I just write it to him. But.
So, you have a tattoo, though. You want to
right across the chest. It's buried under a swastika and a Jewish star. I'm so confused.
You really are. I love it.
But Dick Gregory, I saw, and he would take the paper. And I saw him at Caroline's maybe 10, 12 years, and it was one of the best stand-up shows I'd ever seen.
Oh, that's great.
And he was going from... But then I went and saw him a couple years ago, and it was... I couldn't watch 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was too old.
He couldn't come out. They announced him. He didn't come out right away. Yeah. And then he's like, it finally came out. He's like, I'm sorry, my diaper. Like, oh, my diaper. And he just, so it was really sick. You got to see these guys before. I never got to see Rickles.
I never got
to see Cosby.
No, I didn't see.
I'll get him on the comeback tour.
With Louis C.K.
Get to see Louis.
Louis and Cosby, they should tour together.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
But that is great. Yeah, he just plucks it from the headlines.
Fallen Legends. That's money, son.
Yeah. Fallen Legends tour.
Yeah.
I'd call it something else, probably.
They probably don't want to be called the Fallen Legends.
Yeah. Yeah. The consent comedy tour.
Consent comedy tour.
I mean, Louis's doing great.
She said, he said.
He said, she said, there's no girl on it. It's the, you know, the Toronto scene fell apart. I'm jumping all over here, but there was a trans comic in Toronto that was very outspoken. Louis played Toronto a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
Sold out in 2 hours. Okay. They had to add two shows. Yeah. And this trans comic was like, how could you? You people are garbage. You know what he's done to women. Your women feel, one of the bookers from, nobody would say anything to this person because you would be deemed transphobic.
I got
you. One of the bookers finally just goes, hey, stop throwing stones from glass houses. Why don't we open up this conversation to people you've abused? Oh. And then within 2 hours, five women came forward and they go, yeah, she did this to me. Or they did this to me. They did this. And,
really?
And in a day, boom, just like the person that was running the Toronto scene, who's trans and all the queer people rallied around, was basically thrown off the throne. Wow. In like a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's interesting to watch. But yeah, Louis, I mean, crushing it at a club level, which is a big hit from him. You know?
You want to hear something funny?
He masturbated in front of you.
He wanted to play Greenwich, and I wouldn't let him.
Really?
Yeah, because, not because of what he did.
Right.
It really nothing to do with that. I think he's the Mount Rushmore of comedy. Mm-hmm. I really do. Truly do. I just think it's hilarious that I got to turn him down.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't come anywhere near the place.
A couple years
when
ago.
When he was on fire. Yeah. So it was kind of almost like I got a call from one of my managers, Howie and stuff. And he was like, yo, Louis here. He's got a dog. He wants to go up. He's standing outside. And I was like, I don't think this is the best time for me to say yes. And if I'm there and I get to kind of talk to him and whatever,
yeah.
But it was just like, and he was so like, you could tell he was just defeated. Like, I don't think the seller puts him up anymore.
Right.
I think they kind of like were tired of all the backlash.
Yeah.
But I'm weird because I'm a nice guy, but at the same time, if you're stupid enough to like really mess up this amazing ride that technically is half a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just right place, right people, right for this guy, do this thing, open for this guy, work with, you develop a network. Bill Burr was friends with Chappelle, whatever. I'm not saying these guys aren't phenomenal, because they are, but their circle and where they are at in their comedy, when they started, all these things come into factor. So what I'm saying is, like, when you have it, you really have to be careful of what it is that you have and not mess
right.
up. Like, it's like, it's a gift. And so if you're like one of these people that just like, the fact that he's like, let's say Aspen Comedy Festival, he was a writer for Conan at best. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that was where his level was. That's still pretty big to think that maybe you're going to get a little further. Like, yeah. Just don't do stupid stuff. It's not about, I don't give a shit about the asking and all that. To me, it's just about, why? Just think ahead. You got to have a no person. You got to have somebody going, nah, but put it away. Let's
right.
go. That's what his
other. But I also don't know if he was at that level. And I mean, look, the way he's explaining it now, he's like, look, I've got a thing. My thing is I like to jack off and I don't like to be alone. Everyone's got a thing. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I have a thing where I like to talk dirty and role play. But my wife just constantly says no. You know, that's her thing.
I'll just be like, call me, dude.
Hey, come here. I'm like, hey, what do you want to do? And she's like, why are you being like this? So I'm like, okay, my thing doesn't fly. So it's like, if your thing is like, hey, can I jack off in front of you?
But you're not going to do it in the green room.
No, I wouldn't.
That's
do it
the
in
difference.
The green room,
you're not going to do it in the green room.
I mean, it's look. I've been a big defender of his. I'm not even friendly with him. He used to come on my shows, and I would just be. I'd be like, "Hey, how are you?" And I would know my place around what was one of the biggest comics.
It's a stupidity
at that
thing.
Time.
To me, it's a stupidity thing. It's to me, that's the bottom line. Is just like, just don't do it. Like this you know, this Antonio Brown guy. Like it's always some celebrity that just. It's like, just get your shit together.
Yeah.
Make your money and go away. Like, you don't need to. You know what? I don't know. I just don't think.
But I also feel like, and this is people don't bring this up, and you used to think certain talent gets you certain privileges. So I feel like. Hey, when I started headlining, I could drink more and I could be more forward with women. Cause so that also may be where his headspace was. I don't know. I mean, it was a huge fall from grace. But I think the fact
hilarious.
That he's selling out clubs is, I mean, he will start doing theaters again.
Sure,
but it'll be like, okay, I'm going to Toronto. Why do seven shows when I could pack all those? And he's going to start doing theaters again.
Yeah, I'm sure. Canada is. You know, I think to them too, it's like, well, it wasn't Canadian comics.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a bunch of American girls.
Whatever. Canada is so forget. Like your prime minister did blackface, and
look at that mayor that you guys had for a while,
smoking crack, doing patois. But they have the audacity.
And I made fun of him, and they freaked out.
What, in Canada?
Yeah. Like Rob Ford, they're like, "Oh, hey, easy."
Yeah.
I was like, "Really easy?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's amazing. They're like, Trump is the worst ever. And they're like, your guy's doing blackface. They don't see the irony of it. They just forget about it after 3 days. I'm very excited to get there tomorrow and talk shit about it. It's pouring out. Such a weird people. I'm so happy I escaped that country.
Me too.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you.
Thanks.
You're one of those guys that's like, first of all, I think we all root for you. I think it's one of those things where it's like this documentary that you did, and is it a documentary or is it an interesting way to do a special?
I think I call it a documentary.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a purist in terms of special. I think a special should be a special.
Because Chris Rock did something that was like spliced.
Yeah, he did three shows that were like word for word, and he spliced them together.
Which was,
he
did that was London. That was a weird one.
Yeah. I don't know if it was his best.
Yeah, no. Is the
Ray Romano did back to back shows. He did like two separate cellar rooms.
Yeah,
call it a documentary because there's more to it. But Gary Goldman's latest one, which I heard is phenomenal, his is like some stand up and some documentary. So I think that they're becoming a bigger thing.
I saw him welling up on stage and I had to turn it.
I've also seen him freak out on audiences.
I have too.
And want to fight people.
I have too.
And I mean, he may be better now.
I'm kind of team
medication.
Brennan because I really am.
I love Kevin Brennan.
The reason I love Kevin Brennan is he's out of his mind, but he's actually like he's done my podcast.
Yeah.
Like he's approachable to me. Whereas where Goldman isn't friendly, but he's not gonna do anything to help me out.
Right.
Whereas Brennan is kind of a comic in that sense. He will talk shit about you if you act like an idiot, but. I don't know. I like him. I think he's hilarious.
He's an old school guy.
I think he's hilarious.
Funny first.
I think his comedy on stage is just, when he's just on and it's all hitting cylinders, he's hilarious, man. He's an underrated fucking gem.
And Goldman is a master craftsman.
He is.
He's such a good writer, but it's also like, I was at Gotham last night and I was closing out and Goldman was on too. I walked in and Goldman was on and I usually see him and shake his hand and say, what's up?
Yeah.
And last night I was like, maybe I won't say hi because after the Brennan thing, so I was just kind of like, I'll go to the bathroom and come back in a few minutes. I don't want to get, he's so tall.
I don't
want to get scratched. I'm going to be going at his kneecaps. Hey, you hit my friend. Why'd you hit my friend? But I've seen him freak out. He was at the stand one night. There was maybe 15 people and this big juice head came up to me before. He's like, hey man, I love you, man. I love your comedy. I was like, thanks so much. He's like, so I come off. He'd be like, when you going back up? I'm like, there's other guys I was hosting at the time. And Goldman went up and this guy was like, you're not funny, man. You fucking suck. And Goldman's like, how about you shut up? Okay. But like that. And then the guy stood up and Goldman's like, oh, this is a mistake. This guy was like three of me, just jacked like Marine, full of juice. And there was no security there that night. So Goldman asked to the back of the room, he's like, Aaron, can you help out? I'll be back. I was like, this guy would have made a mess of you. He would have made a mess of you. So then, he stormed off early or something like that. Which, you know, that's what he was known for.
Yeah.
This mic sucks. And he'd just roll out into the street.
What's really interesting, because it's like, I saw him, you know, Leah, you know, she was emceeing one night, and he flipped out on a guy. He was doing like cocktail fruit. Because that's the thing. Because it's like, you know, it's
niche food group bits.
He was. Yeah. Seriously. That's what he does. He does perfect, like, stuff I just can't. Him and Gaffigan, they do something about food that I could just never do. Yeah. They're brilliant at it. Yeah. And they're making a gazillion dollars at it. And if I could do that, I would. Pop-Tart jokes, if I could, I would. Yeah. But I just can't. It's not in me. And so he's doing some, like, you know, grape joke or baby carrots or something. Mm-hmm. And it was like somebody said you suck or something.
Yeah.
And he spit on a guy.
Ah, I heard just this story.
Spit on a guy. And then he gets on stage and he said the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And he was just like, you're just jealous. Because this is what he said. And Joey Gay does the best. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he says to me, you're just jealous because I'm 6'4", twisted metal, full of sex appeal. Like some sort of like rant about himself.
Yeah.
About how great he was. And we were just like, what is happening?
Somebody says to himself in the mirror before he goes out in the morning, you're 6'4", steel and pure twisted metal sex appeal. Go get him, Gare.
And so he spits on this guy.
Yeah.
I think he said that first.
Okay.
And then he spit on the guy. That's what it was. He said the, like, I'm the greatest of all time kind of thing. And then I'm sexy. And then he spit on this guy. And then the guy stood up, the thing. And then Leah, poor thing, she was probably maybe 9 months into comedy. Mm-hmm. And she's emceeing for the first time. It was like the Comedy Village, which was the Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, looked at me. We were just our day. She's like, what do I do? What do I do? And I was like, you go back on stage. Because he threw the mic down and got off stage, and that's when she became a comic. Because she was just like, I go, you just got to deal with this. I go, you get up there, do 5 minutes, grab that microphone, and figure it out. And it was like one of these, like, we have that thing, like, this trauma for her is mm-hmm. what kind of made her a better comic.
Yeah.
Because it was like something she had to deal with.
Yeah.
But he, but what's great about him, though, I will give him credit because I don't want him coming at me and scratching me. But I think what's great about him is he did that kind of comedy for so many years, mm-hmm. that kind of just whatever, great comedy, but it was, you know, jokes. And then I think this special is about dealing with all that shit in his head. It's about just, and I see, he comes out, we see the same therapist, you know, he walks out of the thing and everything. I see him, I see you, I see all you guys.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so that's what's cool, is like he was known for kind of, it was this hidden secret amongst us that we were like, this guy's crazy. And then he does a special.
Yeah.
About dealing with it, which, like, you know, coming face to face with it. So that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I watched it when he was working on it. He did like a 25-minute spot, and I was like, oh, this is just, I mean, he's always been, the first time I saw him, I was like, oh, I thought he was some horrible TV hack because I'd only seen him on Last Comic. And then I saw him live, and I was like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. And then to watch it now, it's evolved so much for him.
Well, let's get back to you.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy. Yeah, let's get back to you.
He comes in and throws us both against the wall. How'd you know where I lived? You just 6'4", right. Twisted metal and sex appeal. Walks out the door.
So you get this
my documentary's touching.
Talk to me. Yeah, like, tell me about this thing. You go.
I did 25. Okay. And
how do you do that? That's impossible. What time did you start? What time was the first spot?
4:05 p.m.
That's not that early.
No. And it was 17 club spots, 5 bar shows, 3 open mics. That's the breakdown of it. But the night I came up with it, I was doing Greenwich and I think Eastville and New York. So I had 9 that night. And I was like, did 9. And I'd just gotten sober. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of time in between. Even though I was doing 9, I was sitting around smoking a cigar. And I was like, I wonder how many I could do. And I went home and wrote it down. I'm like, I think I could do 18. And then I was like, okay, well, Steve Byrne did 13. I should be able to break that record. And then once I started planning it, I was like, I should swing for the fences. So it was down to, you know, the minute, giving myself 10 minutes to get in between each spot. And I came up with 26. And the night we tried it, I was going for 26, and I hit 25. And it was, it was great. It was crazy. There was a flow. All the stress was just getting to the shows. That, like it always is. Once you're on stage, you're fine.
Like a jetpack, you could do 40.
Yeah. it's, if someone breaks it, I mean, someone will.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know. 25. I was thinking just to mess with you. You know, I was like, hey, I'll do 26.
But well,
I was
TJ like, said no he way. Wanted to. Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm thinking about breaking that record. Yeah. He told me like maybe eight months ago. I go, can you wait? Because I got a documentary coming out. I think someone famous could do it. But I mean, I wasn't famous. And I'm not. But it's like. But
that's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're just a road like, warrior, club comic, cool dude. Like, that's what makes it cool. Because you're not some Seinfeld guy. Just you walk in and they're like, oh, this guy. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they are. But, you know, maybe at the pair or something. But not, you know, not. You know, you still got to work for your spots. Yeah. So that's what makes it more intriguing, I think.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's not easy. You know that. If you want to load up your weekend, sometimes it's a pain. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, okay, I just got two at Dangerfields.
Yeah.
And, you know, but now I'm thankful. I'm like, okay, I can chill out on a Saturday. But, you know, you want to work as much as you can and you want to fill your schedule.
What were all the clubs that you did?
New York, Greenwich, Stand Up New York. What are the clubs that I do? I didn't.
Did you do LOL?
Yeah, I did LOL. I didn't.
That's a good one to do.
I didn't touch Gotham. I didn't touch Caroline's, and I didn't touch the Cellar.
Oh wow.
Oh, and Comic Strip wouldn't put me on, and that was a bone of contention for me. But I mean, that was the first club that passed me when I moved here.
Yeah.
But I wasn't working there a lot, and I talked to Swedler, and I go, "Hey, I'm doing this thing. If I could get 5 minutes," he's like, "No." And I was like, okay. And so I was like, all right. Since then I stopped, but I don't work there. I don't say that. Stand Up New York put me on one. I think I did 4 at Greenwich, 4 at the Stand, 4 at New York. This is when there was only one New York. I did Creek in the Cave. I just sent the list to somebody. I have the whole list actually.
Yeah, that's so great.
And then there was little bar shows. There was like Bunga's Den on 14th Street.
What was the longest set and what was the shortest set?
It was at
your
club, 17 minutes on the last show.
Oh, you did the last show at Greenwich.
And then I went to LOL. So yours was the late show at Greenwich. So that was about 2 in the morning.
Is it good Greenwich footage?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot in there.
Okay, good.
There's one of the real bad sets is at Greenwich where it was the early show.
Yeah.
And some guy was whacked out on pills.
Hilarious.
And just didn't know what he was saying. So, Piper. I just said whacked out on pills.
Here she comes. Hi. Yay.
How are you?
You want to say hello in the microphone? Say hi in the microphone.
What's your name?
This is Piper.
You just learned how to say your name. Piperberg.
Piperberg.
Are you bored of Coco Melon?
I get it.
Yeah. We're talking to Dustin.
We're almost done. We're getting close.
Getting close. And then me and you will play puzzles.
Puzzles. So, so cool. So this thing's available Amazon. So how did you
It's Amazon, Apple TV, Comedy Dynamics Network. They're basically
So Comedy Dynamics did all the legwork for that, getting it on stuff or
yeah, they distributed it. We basically made a movie and they're like, "Hey, we'll throw our name on it and get it out there for you." That's what they do. That's what distributors do.
Okay. So cool, man. So you make money off like people downloading it and that kind of
thing. Yeah, I think people once you recoup their costs and then we try to break even. I mean, me and Matt O'Dowd basically put all the money in ourselves to make the movie, and it was a gradual thing where
that's very cool.
You know, we shot it, so we paid the crew, and then we paid the first editor to put stuff together, then we paid an editor to form a story, then we had to get color correction and sound and stuff. But you can make a movie.
Is each set that you captured a little bit different, or did you do some jokes like watching how sometimes audiences react differently to each type of, you know?
I repeated a couple jokes throughout the night, but I did a ton of crowd work too, so every show was different. But there was like a couple stock lines I had, like, "Well, I moved here to live my dream," which was to perform in front of 8 people or 3 people.
Like 3 people and 5
people.
Yeah,
so that showed up twice. I remember doing the black chicks. I love sleeping with black chicks joke. I did that a few times. I did, I don't know if I had the Black Lives Splatter joke back then, but I wish I did.
You're evolving. You know
what I mean? I am evolving. And that's an amazing
you really
watch
are.
It 4 years ago. And there's moments, there's this great moment, because there was some real heavy hitting comics at the premiere the other night. And I'm like, I wonder what they'll think. So they watch me do a couple sets and I'm doing my thing, which is crowd work. And you're watching it. And if you're a comic, you're like, this isn't good. You know, it's not good. So then there's this moment where after like 3 sets, and I'm killing with it, I go, it's not very good, the stand-up that I do. And so it breaks that tension, and all the experienced comics get it, and it takes you into this thing. But I think a lot of comics have that thing where, you know, when you're killing all the time, you're like, okay, I could do better than this. There's stuff that I could be doing.
Probably my top five bombs are following you last spot at Dangerfields. I followed you about 2 months ago, and man, I still wake up at night sometimes.
Really?
Like, it was, yeah, you did great. Oh. And it was like one of those, you know, it's like, you know, when you follow somebody that's crushed,
yeah,
and you try to kind of like, I'm just not going to do anything they did. I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah.
And then it's like, does it work at all?
Yeah.
Because all they want is what they got.
Yeah.
So I've learned.
Swap it up. That guy was fast and loud. I'm going to be quiet and slow.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Sit on the stool.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Just all relaxed.
Yeah.
And it's like, you had one of those sets where you're just popping the room. And it's fun to watch. I don't think, I think it's a craft. And I never look down on good, and I don't call it crowd work. I call it crowd connection.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a thing that's not easy. Everybody, because I coach comedy. And all these little ding-dongs, they don't get funny until they can figure that out.
Yeah.
Peter Diabro was my student, and he didn't figure out how to get funny until he could figure out how to connect to the crowd.
Right.
Until he knew how to, like, rock the crowd and play with the crowd. Then he could be himself.
Yeah.
Then he could talk about all that great stuff about getting locked up and stuff. But none of that worked when he didn't know how to connect.
Yeah.
And so you're a guy, too, talk about long form. You have such a good way of connecting that, you know, that will be easier for you now.
Yeah.
Because you know? You've, like, learned how to, because the crushing's the easy part when it comes to, like, you know, but the connecting is a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
Like, we can all write jokes that, like, kind of bring a crowd together, but connecting is not as easy as people think it is.
No.
You know, because I remember, you know, like, Lampanelli and, you know, I was up watching her. You know, it's funny about her because, you know, her whole thing was, like, you know, she kind of was doing this thing that was, like, you know, really working for her. Like, she was older woman, and it was this thing, and she was, like, slapping the crowd around. It was a good thing. And then you heard her whole story where she turned into kind of this motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, like, going around and, like, and trying to inspire people, all this stuff. And then the other day somebody, and I was just, and then I'm kind of rolling my eyes at this whole thing. I'm like, really? And then the other day somebody said she dropped into Broadway, and I saw a post and somebody goes, yeah, Lisa Lampanelli was on stage. She called me a faggot. And I was like, she's back.
Oh, wow.
I was like, she's back.
Said, just a couple days ago?
Like a couple weeks ago.
That's great.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, thank God. Because she was so good at that. I was like, dude, don't, you know what I mean? That's the thing. It's like when Dice cried on Arsenio.
Yeah.
It's like, just, man, just be you. That's what the, you know what I mean, that fan base wants you.
I called Lisa when I went through, you know, my radio show was going through a thing about a year ago. We were into it with, like, a woman that was, some fans were going after. So I called Lampanelli and I go, look, I'm dealing with this. And I figured Lampanelli was gonna be like, well, fuck them if they can't take a joke and you fucking double down. She's like, you should apologize to them and you should you know, evolve your comedy so that it's not a fan. And I was like, the fuck is wrong with this chick? And literally 2 days later, she went on Stern and she's like, yeah, I'm quitting comedy. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, that's where this came from.
Yeah.
Because I thought she was going to be like, fucking damn the torpedoes. You go at it. Yeah. Freedom of speech. She's like, yeah, you should apologize. And you're a dad. Why are you getting into it? And literally that type of stuff. And I looked at Christine because Christine was on speakerphone. And I go, isn't this weird? Should I listen to Lisa Lampanelli right now? I mean, luckily we didn't, but yeah. It's good she's back,
I guess. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see her. Maybe she was just, maybe she was scared. I get when people get scared by watching what's happening and people going after dirty comedy and people saying you can't say these words. So then she makes a good living, man. You know, or she did. And to be like, oh, that could all go away. Because you always think that in the back of your mind.
Yeah,
you're like,
I think
somebody could just be like, hey, you're not working anymore.
Yeah, but I also think it's just like, you know, the game changes, but if you got a good 3-point shot, you'll still play. You know, and it's like, and we're all like, you figure out how to do it. You know what I mean? Because 70% of the time, we're in front of crowds we don't really want to be in front of, especially when you do New York shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in front of, when I say that, I mean, like, you know, sweater white people in their 20s or whatever. So you're just like, you figure it out. And it's fun to watch yourself figure it out. And then sometimes a joke, like I just did Klan jokes and stuff, and I would, you know, I've kind of put them on the back, but sometimes I'll pop them out if I feel like whatever. But it's interesting to me. It's like, it's really about, like, I used to do this whole thing where it was just like I made fun of different races and stuff. And now what I do is I find a way to, I'm still doing the same thing, but what I'm doing now is I'm still making fun of the stereotypes, but I'm making fun of it in a way like you can't hate these people. If you do, then you don't get to partake of the stereotype.
Right.
And so it's like this angle that I figured out how to kind of like turn it and still do the same act.
Yeah.
But it's like a way to be like, well, then you don't get tacos if you hate Mexicans. You
right.
know? You don't get da-da-da if you hate this person. And so like it really kind of – and it feels smarter than it is because
yeah.
I turned it a certain direction.
Yeah.
So it's like that's all you have to do. You have to just be, you know, creative
yeah.
in how it's you're racist. Your racist. Yeah. Your racism has to be creative.
Frame your racism better. Trick the woke people by framing it.
That's right.
Just hey, you know it. These people that think this and you just think all of it?
Well, very excited to see the movie. I can't wait.
I think you'll enjoy it. A lot of people cry yeah. watching it.
Well, it's you know, I saw a couple clips and that's one thing I like about you. You're very grateful for being in New York and doing comedy yeah. here, and you're grateful for the posse of comedians that are around you, and so I'm very happy that you like you said, you just did something.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, so many comics, we're so smart, we have so many ideas, but half of us just leave it in a notebook.
Yeah,
we don't do things, and so you've inspired me to do some stuff.
Cool.
Because I think that's, you know, you just got to do your own thing.
Yeah.
Especially now the market is open.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you know, you can make your own content. And so very excited to see it. 25 sets, Aaron Berg, available on Amazon, Apple TV, all that fun stuff. And anything else you want to promote? Your Dish podcast, all your stuff?
Yeah. In Hot Water, Monday yeah. to Thursday. You'll be on that very soon.
That'd be fun.
Governor's Day. That's on compoundmedia.com. I've got a new podcast coming out called Gum Fridays. And it's me and Gino Bisconti and the guys in the booth. And that'll be on Patreon exclusively. And tour dates, I usually post them on aaronberg.com. Album recording, New York Comedy Festival, November 7th, American Etiquette. That'll be at the Stand for two
awesome.
Shows.
Awesome. And that's a book you wrote as well, right?
Yeah. I just read from the book. It's so easy. I don't have to memorize anything. It's like an audiobook slash stand-up show.
Best recording ever.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Piper. Thanks for letting me in your home.
Thanks, Piper.
You guys are great.
Thanks for coming all the way
yeah,
here,
yeah, thank you. And please keep listening. I'll leave you with this. Bye-bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.